In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. A heartfelt thank you and gratitude to all our brothers and sisters, our beloved listeners, for their expression of joy and pleasure in the interview that was arranged and conducted with our beloved Patriarch, His Holiness Marawa, the Third Catholicos Patriarch. A great thank you to our producers who put that interview together, and I know that many of you liked it and you've shared it and you've loved it, and many comments, great feedback, and thank you, and God bless you. We like when we hear from you and when we, you know, we get your feedback so that we can only better this program, these episodes, and only for one reason, one focal purpose, which is for the glory of God and the salvation of our souls. Today we are blessed one more time with an interview that we're going to conduct with our two beloved brothers and sisters, very well known within the youth community of the Assyrian Church of the East, North America, all the dioceses. The names will not be strange to you. And we are recording currently at the 36th annual youth conference of the Assyrian Church of the East, North America. And we, the producers, saw that it was a great opportunity to speak with these lovely people and to get to know them, to get to hear their beautiful voices. We've done 35,000 sound checks, so it's great. And to ask them questions. And I believe and I pray that I will ask the questions that are on your minds and on your heart. My beloved, newly ordained, one week ago, well, this will be Monday, so 1 week or 2 weeks ago, newly ordained priest, my beloved brother, Rabbi Chasha, Reverend Father Andrew Aziz. Rabbi, welcome.
Rabbi Chasha, thank you very much for the kind and warm welcoming. It's my honor and joy, and I'm very humbled to be on this podcast for the second time. I believe it was last year at the 35th conference in Sacramento that I was also blessed to be on the podcast with you, as we discussed last year's theme and the overall conference. So it's my joy and pleasure to be with you again.
So you've been on the episode before.
I have.
Oh, so this is not new.
No.
Okay, well, this changes the mood now, Rabbi.
Yeah.
And also our beloved First Lady, my sister Nineveh Aziz, Mrs. Nineveh Aziz, welcome, Khati. I know the first time on episode. We'll be gentle with you. We'll be kind with you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Yep. My first time on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I heard you were very, very excited to be on the podcast.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Okay. A little nervous, but I'm excited.
Excellent. I'll give you the $100 afterwards.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get straight into it. Rabbi Chasha Aziza. Rabbi Chasha means teacher priest. beloved Rabbi Chasha, the 36th annual conference, the youth conference, hosted by the Diocese of Western USA.
Yes, correct.
And in the city of Irvine in California. You both are very much involved. Please give me a rundown of the conference and the preparations and where we are at the moment. We're recording on Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, this is Sunday.
Today is Sunday.
I'm sorry. So yes, we had the Holy Eucharist, and the party's going on downstairs, right? And here we are talking to each other, conducting interviews. Stephen, timing, you got to look at timing. So yes, just a rundown on the conference thus far, please.
Yeah, so I want to take it back to the first thing you just mentioned, the 36th annual. This is something that is really, really an amazing effort by the entire Church of the East. That's something that we see the fruits of the conference. Had Odiu, there was a today there was an ordination of some of the youth deacons that belong to one of our parishes in the diocese from St. Mary's. And two youth members were ordained to, one was a lector, one was a subdeacon. And as I was in the altar, I looked down and there was about 14 other subdeacons from across the from across the other diocese. And that shows the fruitful act that we see from the conference itself. I think it's played a vital role in its development and the nurturing, the spiritual nurturing that we see from our young brothers, primarily those that are receiving the ranks in the church, and then also from those that aren't receiving ranks, and then from our beloved sisters as well, that we see their zeal, their passion for their church, for their Lord, and for serving, wanting to serve in the church, and we see their constant, you know, participation in all of the conferences and back in their parishes as well. So we look back when we began planning this conference about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when we knew it was in the diocese. Archdeacon Giuergis Petrashu at the time he was core bishop, and you know, he selected me to be the chairman of the conference. And my wife, Ninwa, we've worked well together in our parish with the youth community. And, you know, she was able to help me form a subcommittee of conference planning. And for about a year and a half, we've been all in constant communication. One thing about our diocese is that we're spread across four different states, California, Arizona, Nevada, and Texas. But thankfully for technology, we've been able to work together and simultaneously really put our minds and efforts together to bring this conference to fruition. So today, like you mentioned, is Sunday. We began our conferences, obviously, on the first day with the welcoming. But to take a step back, we're looking at the theme of this year that was selected by the NEC, the National Executive Committee.
On which Rabbi Rasha is the secretary.
Yes, I am. And the theme was "Thy will be done" from our Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Hawa razayuch, we say, "Thy will be done." And the lecturers gave, I think, amazing lectures on the Friday and Saturday of the conference. And we've been receiving very, very positive feedback from all 680 attendees. That was also a record-breaking number that we've had at this conference. So just the very basic structure that we are so used to now with these conferences, but it's always refreshing and such a beautiful sight to see all of the new faces and the old faces that we see them grow that every, you know, year by year that passes, their own spiritual development and we know the work, we see the work that they do in their own parishes. So it's something that's very positive and very encouraging to see everybody coming together and enjoying the conference itself. So Friday, Saturday, we had our own programs. Friday, we had the dinner with our patriarch, His Holiness Marawa III. And Saturday, we had classes. We had a sports picnic that went very, very well.
It was the best one.
It was the best one. Why?
No dancing, no music.
No.
It was the best. But you know, His Grace Marpolos was complaining. He said, it was khatcha music. I said, no, Gyosi, don't even go there. They had fun. And the sports competition, the volleyball competition, AZ and LA, right?
Yeah.
It was getting heated sometimes. Right? You know, I was sort of walking away, but no, it was a great.
It was.
Okay, congratulations, Ravi. AZ won.
Arizona won. We were very happy. It was a diocese.
Lucky I wasn't playing.
We would have lost. Yeah. The diocese competition was supposed to be the volleyball tournament between the diocese, but we had so many of our members that wanted to participate, so we were able to open it to almost every parish was able to put together some teams. So we had eight teams participating, and that tournament turned out to be very successful. And that adds, I think, a fellowship factor that, you know, although we have the spiritual aspect of the conference, but, you know, the volleyball, the fellowship time, it builds those bonds that last. Those are memories that last forever for those young men.
We had some injuries as well, right?
don't get me started. I think we did have a few, but it was, thank God, it was okay. Everybody was fine.
The great thing about the conference is the new friendships that are made. And, you know, when they go back home, they're constantly talking and keeping in contact with one another until the following year. Mrs. Aziz, Mrs. Rabbi Qasha Aziz. I know Rabbi mentioned that you were by his side and helping out. Did you guys ever not see eye to eye on any points? Or was that all done behind the scenes?
Never publicly, but...
There you go.
Yeah.
What was your involvement, Azista?
Honestly, Rabbi, everything that Rabbi Qasha does, I always somehow end up getting involved in it.
Whether by default,
me,
yes.
Yeah, by default, mm-hmm. But whether he wants me or not, my opinions come up, yeah. And he accepts most of them. So the process was, you know, we just jumped into it, and as he continued doing things, we did start planning about, what was it, 2 years ago?
About a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago. At first, I wasn't as involved. I was busy with my own things at the time, and then as we got closer, I started to step in and help out through the subcommittees and all the director positions. And I think, you know, for the most part, everything went smoothly. We do pretty good as a team. Yeah. We've made it this far.
There's always going to be shortfalls and issues. I mean, hosting 680 young men and women already away from their parents, from their homes, in their hotel rooms. We always have issues. But considering the great amount, I'm hearing great positive feedback. And we'll wait till – I mean, we're going to have that survey, obviously.
Yes.
And we'll wait till see after the conclusion what is the final feedback that we're saying. And I'm sure it's going to be positive. I'm sure it's going to be positive.
God willing. Yeah. We've been hearing a lot of positivity. Yeah. Obviously, like you said, you can't fulfill everybody's needs, especially with such a large group. But one thing about Ninwe I wanted to add, she didn't mention, was with regards to her involvement, I'm not very tech savvy. So when things get brought up for me to do a design or any sort of, you know, organizational thing on... that's not my expertise. So when
join the club.
When she sees that I'm, you know, sort of struggling or falling behind, she's done an amazing job, like you said, of being there for me and being there for the church. She's not really there for me. It's just I've been selected to be a chairperson or to kind of lead this group. But her, among and many others that were able to help, they did all of the work, as you know, like you just mentioned too. My ordination was a week ago, and so I was very busy with regards to, you know, sort of doing the transition between my job in the past, my engineering job, and then transitioning into preparations for the priesthood and the ordination. So really, Ninwe and the rest of our directors were the ones working on this conference day to day, and I just kind of came in at the end and, you know,
took all the credit.
Yeah, that's it. We say in Assyrian, palchi plicha achli niche. The workers work, and those who are rested eat from the fruits.
Yeah.
Talking about tech savvy, my Indian support group is Stephen.
Yeah, I can tell.
And Robert Glula, Lector Robert. Sometimes I call him, he's in Australia, sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I call him, Robert, why can I not get into my so tech savvy mention? We don't need it, Robbie.
Yeah.
And next year's conference is all, obviously, it was decided 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Canada.
Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
For the first time, we'll be hosting internationally for our North American conference here. So I think it's going to be a very fruitful one.
Yeah, and they're very, very excited. Yeah. This is the second year that Canada is involved, I believe. Is it the third year?
Third year.
Canada is involved. There's a great number of youth that have attended this year's, you know, you have to, it's an international flight. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very excited, and obviously there's always going to be help, and we're always there to help them. And I'm very excited, and I think the youth are very excited too.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll host a great conference, and the years will go on and on and on, and one day we'll be one of those old people walk in and say, I was a part of this.
The first Canadian conference.
I wonder how the conference is going to be in 2036 or 2045, right? Yeah. We'll be around.
God willing.
If not, your children and my grandchildren. So
we'll be teaching them. I was one thing you I mentioned the other day when one of our breakout sessions was that my second conference, 2010.
The slaps.
You were one of the priests that was. Father Gennard was notorious for
the slaps.
Yeah.
No, it was a loving slap.
It was a loving slap when we answered. When we answered correctly.
And look where you are today.
And look where
must
we
have
are
been the slap. Okay, let's go into the not the private life, but let's go and ask a little bit about Rabbi Rasha, Andrew, and Mrs. Rabbi Rasha Andrew Ninveh. Tell us a little bit about Father Andrew Aziz.
My name is Andrew Aziz.
Welcome.
No, I am. I'm 28 years old, Rabbi. Soon to be 29.
He was recently every single day up until the final day of his birthday.
I was recently ordained to the priesthood, where I will be serving in the Diocese of Western United States, primarily with the Youth Association, as well as being an assistant to our parish priests in Arizona, which now we have three parishes. Mar Yosef, Chanani, Shugir, Gilbert, Arizona, with Reverend Hoshaba Shlimun, who is the parish priest. Our cathedral in Glendale, Arizona, St. Peter's Cathedral, with Reverend Sargon Yarrow as the parish priest. And we have a new mission parish in Surprise, Arizona, with Reverend Ninos Isaac, who was ordained with me as well. So I will be assisting those three parish priests and their daily ecclesiastical life, and I look forward to it. It's a calling from God. It's a vocation that I felt the passion and I felt the calling with so many times throughout the years where Reverend Fathers like yourself have approached me with regards to taking that leap of faith and answering that calling. And I am blessed to have somebody that is by my side as the person sitting next to me is, by allowing me to follow that vocation to, as I mentioned earlier, I was an engineer, a mechanical engineer for a semiconductor company. But when the calling grew and I felt the calling, I one of the things that a lot of people were telling me was that, oh, you're young, you should wait. Mutmal Yuse, why are you rushing into this? Mm-hmm. You have so many years ahead of you.
King David wasn't too old, was he?
He was young. Mm-hmm. He was the youngest one.
He was the youngest one.
Yeah. And for me, it wasn't really about my age. I didn't feel like the age was really a factor into any of this. It was more of, the calling is there. And if I have somebody, and not just my wife, but my entire family was the people that were supporting me, but more so you need your wife's support in this. Mm-hmm. So she was able and willing and just as passionate, if not more so, to allow me to follow this. Mm-hmm. And, she said, if we have the right circumstances and we have, the right environment where, you have the support from other priests and you have the support of the youth in the community, this is something that you're willing to do, and if this is God's calling, God's going to guide you through it. God's going to guide us through it. Mm-hmm. So, I spoke with Archdeacon Giewedges, who is currently our patriarchal vicar in the diocese, and we spoke at length about the responsibility and what my role in the diocese is going to be. And after further prayer and meditation on the subject, I was. We were able to commit to it.
And how long did you serve as a deacon, Rabbi?
I was serving as a deacon for 10 years. 2014, May of 2014, I was ordained, and June of 2024, I was ordained a priest.
And when did Madam Ninveh come into play? And has there been a conference, right? Conference crush.
Well,
was it a conference crush?
It was a parish crush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Would you want to answer this, or you want me to answer this?
I guess. Yeah. We can admit to it now.
Yeah. So 2014, we were serving in the committee together. We were so myself, Ninveh, and our very good brother, dear brother Marcel, we were the three sort of first committee members of our parish's youth group.
Okay.
And Ninveh was our she was our secretary/treasurer. And Marcel was my vice president. And
secretary/treasurer/... parish crush.
Yes. But so that the working in the parish developed our relationship. I noticed besides her beauty, but I noticed just her works and her zeal and her passion, all of these things. And
Rabbi, you're married.
I didn't look like this in 2014, so I don't know what he's talking about.
We built a great friendship. That's what it was first, and working together. So that was what allowed us. We started going out. Hanging out during those times, and
we would have committee meetings, And we would tell Marcel that, you know, we got it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
I would invite her out to coffee just for, you
Starbucks
know.
Starbucks steak.
Starbucks.
Don't call us. We'll call you, Marcel. Well, isn't it, you know, as I was speaking, Bobby, God made Eve. In one of the doctrinal hymns, we say Adam is lamenting because he was expelled from paradise in the Garden of Eden. And he laments and he says, she who was made to be a helper turned and became a pusher, and she brought destruction to me and my children. But you were in that Garden of Eden, which is the church, and thank God that Nineveh became that helper.
Yeah.
And little did you know back then, this is why God says, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, or is it the other way around? Regardless. And little did you know back then was that she would be your helper for this day and for the future. We don't know what God has installed, you know. But it's great because while you're focused on the word of God, then God blesses you with this union and, you know, the attraction and what have you.
Absolutely.
Nineveh, Azista, being with Rabbi as a shamasha, you were still studying by then.
Yes.
And your field is?
Architecture. Graduated with my master's in architecture in 2022, the same year we got married. I graduated 10 days before our wedding, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. When did you get married, sorry?
May 21st of 2022.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I should have asked Robbie, see if he remembered.
I have it in my notes.
So
no,
it's been May 21st. Oh, you've 1 year. Yeah.
Or 2 years.
We're at two years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So back then, obviously, shamasha more available to go out for coffee and what you're saying, and you know, more time to spend together. Then this curveball, if we may say, lack of a better term, comes around, and the priesthood comes in. Then, and you know, I'm sure you're very smart and clever to know that, and being in the church, you know that responsibility requires a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, being a priest, a married priest, actually being a grandfather, the sacrifice, you know, people say, oh, you've sacrificed your life for Christ, amen. But I believe the sacrifice is greater on the partner or the wife. What was your first initial reaction, thought, when Shamasha Andrew back then came and said, honey, darling, whatever you call it, this is, God is calling me to this.
Honestly, Rabbi, a lot of people, especially in the last few weeks, have asked me about how I feel about all of this and what my initial reaction was and all that. And a lot of times it was hard for me to, I always go, oh, I don't know. Like, I still can't answer that. But initially, when it was brought up, of course, I'm human. I had the initial reaction of starting to worry and started to think about all the factors that were to come in the future. And at first I was very hesitant about it. But I didn't reflect that on Shamasha at the time. I wasn't very negative to him because I knew deep down that this was always his calling and he's very passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I know very well what it's like to be passionate about something and how I feel living that as my career day to day and applying it to everything that I do. And I knew that was his passion. Engineering was never his passion. I think he did it just because he anything he puts his mind to, he kind of gets it done. So I knew that's what he wanted to do. Internally, I would think about it a lot. I'd kind of, you know, go back and forth. But at the end of the day, I also always had a very strong passion for serving the church. And I remember being very young and thinking to myself, in what ways can I serve when I'm older? I want to serve. And very recently, I told Shamasha at the time, look, God's made it happen. I used to have these thoughts as a kid, like serving the church and not just the church, but also the Assyrian community in different ways. And now I feel like we have that opportunity and we have that platform and we have that, you know, through Christ to be able to do all of that. So, I just went for it and supported him in everything that he wanted to do. And
let me take a step back. Blessings and kudos to your parents, obviously.
Big time.
Because they instilled the passion.
Big time.
They lit that light and Christ illuminated it and let it glow. and now here you are today. Yeah. And I'm sure when your parents are praying, both of you, I'm sure they thank God. Mm-hmm. And they thank him for the blessings that you have received, because it is their blessings as well. You know, then you're ready to go. You've made up your mind, obviously, through prayer and fasting and consultation, obviously. But I know, not going too much into details, that you mentioned engineering, obviously, Rabbi Rasha, and that didn't come overnight, a lot of studies and what have you. But again, another sacrifice on both of your behalf, where you left that field, that profession. You sacrificed a lot, and you've obviously, we say mintalilat alaha. God doesn't owe us anything for that, you know. Yeah. But you sacrificed a lot. How difficult, or was it easy for you to come, both of you together collectively, to say, you know what? No, I'm ready to sacrifice and to serve the Lord.
I can take this one, and then you can add anything if you'd like. For me, again, Rabbi, like Ninwa said, engineering was something that I studied, obviously, in school, and I received my bachelor's degree in that. And I've been working in the semiconductor field for about a little past 3 years. But when the calling came and it got more serious, and I really began devoting my time to my own studies for priesthood and pastoral studies, my profession and my role in the engineering field, to me, took second, third, fourth priority. And, you know, I still gave it my all in my work, and I had, I have my boss's, approvals for that. But I always really prioritized my pastoral studies. So when the time came, and again, this is just, I think, the nature of it with regards to the major thing is finance. That's the major thing that we look at because of the country we're living in, the needs, the basic necessities. But thankfully, and thank our Archdeacon Uedigus and you know, the supporting committees in our parish and our diocese, when he told me that the basic necessities you'll be okay, you'll have received, and mm-hmm. you know, as long as I was confident and knowing that that was okay, I didn't need anything more than that. Amen. And I'm lucky to have a wife again that she has her profession. Mm-hmm. She's passionate about the architecture field that she's in, and we're blessed in that aspect. So mm-hmm. to me, I didn't need anything more than my basic necessities to be covered. And after I was, after that was verified, and I knew we were going to be okay, I fully trusted in God calling us to this and God guiding us through this. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't something that I was like questioning about. You know, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to make, basic payments and things? I don't think that was a question that I even brought up. Mm-hmm. We pursued it together full head on, mm-hmm. And it was something that today I'm very grateful that we're able to take that step and go forward in that.
So you moved the motion and she seconded it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ninwe, for those brothers and sisters, of those sisters who are dating or have been engaged to or are married to an acolyte, being a deacon, what would your advice be, pre-warning, about something like this happening? How should they be preparing themselves for God's calling? Not everyone's going to be called to this position, but God will call. Many are chosen, a few are elected. What would your advice be for those who God will elect?
In the most simplest way is trust in God, right? He has a will for all of us, and we have to trust that. Going back to this year's conference theme, thy will be done. Mm-hmm. Just trusting in God and not worrying, believing in him in every single thing that he has to provide for all of us, that he's, going to give it to us in our lifetime. So it's just as simple as that. If I sat here and worried about, how am I going to financially be stable? How am I going to do this? A lot of questions got asked to me about, how are you going to live a normal life? Can you go on vacations? Can you do this? Can you do that? If I sat here and worried about all of that, I'd panic. I wouldn't be able to do this, right? So the advice to everyone is just to trust in his will and trust in God and go from that. Have a strong relationship, you know, that relationship that you have together, that communication. That's really it.
St. Paul commands parents that they are, what's the word? They are not entitled. What's that word? They are incumbent to place and to prepare for their children good deeds and what have you, good examples. And I think this is what you're doing for your children. This will be a sacrifice or a commitment or an answer or a reply to calling from God, where one day they will refer back to this and say, well, our parents did this, so we must be doing this. And again, going back to your parents, they obviously sacrifice in a different manner, and the chain keeps going, it's growing, and the effect and the fruits continue until the Lord returns, you know. Any plans, you know, future plans and what you have in mind as far as working together for the church? Because really, this is a unit where a husband and a wife are both engaged in working for the Lord. And it's amazing because the priest or the clergy is not alone in decision making. What do you have planned? Do you have any plans as far as what you want to do in your parish and for the youth, obviously?
Yeah, I think one of the blessings in disguise that we're looking at here, Rabbi, is that I wasn't assigned a specific parish, whereas I was more of assistant and then the youth, overseeing the youth group in Arizona. And then also I've been sort of given some responsibility across the diocese. So working with them at a local level at our parish in Gilbert at Mario Sepkhananishu, and also more recently working closely with the St. Peter's Youth Group in Glendale, I see the fire. I see the zeal that they have, mm-hmm. and it's encouraging to me that I look at, okay, I took on this responsibility through God's guidance and providence, and I have His guidance and I have His strength, and then I see the youth members that I'm going to be working with, and it's something very, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. So I've talked with some committee members, some just, you know, youth members of both parishes, some across the diocese as well. Speaking with Ninwa, she's full of ideas. And you know, our close.
So that's where you get it from.
Let's tell the truth.
So I really look forward to working with them. Some of the projects or I guess activities that we want to do, mainly in Arizona, because that's where we live, and that's, you know, where I'll be spending most of my time, is I really want to unify, build a stronger bridge between the two parishes, the two youth groups, because this year alone they brought nearly 100 youth members just from Arizona, mm-hmm. and looking at the future, looking at our children's ministries at both parishes, and that bridge that the children's ministries is going to funnel into the youth group. And then the youth members that you have between that age of like 18 to 21, and they're so passionate about their youth, they're so passionate about their church and serving. It's almost going to make my job so very easy. And I don't want to call it a job, but my responsibility is going to be very easy because I have people around me that are willing to work. And now that they see one of their own youth members, mm-hmm. I think receiving yes. these ranks, it's encouraging them mm-hmm. to come in, you know, want to serve and want to yeah. help me out, mm-hmm. So that we can both serve together. It's not like I'm their, you know, their boss or their leader. Mm-hmm. I'm leading them, and we're all working together to serve the church and all for His glory.
For those who are not familiar with the demographics, Ninwa, driving distance from Gilbert to
Glendale
and
Surprise.
What are we looking at?
So looking at Mariosa Parish, which is in Gilbert, all the way to St. Peter's Parish in Glendale, it's about 50 minutes. And then Surprise, about another 20 minutes from their city, from Glendale to Surprise.
Okay.
So.
Okay. You know, as you were speaking, Rabbi, that you want to unify a little bit about the Central Valley parishes. Modesto Series, California, we have what we call a Central Valley Youth Group. Joey Hermes, who's one of the members of the NEC, yes. National Youth Executive. We've got to call it NYEC, National Youth Executive Committee. And Kristen, our sister, as well. We have the Central Valley Youth Group, where the three parishes come together. Mm-hmm. They have a monthly worship night. They arrange a lot of activities and events. Yeah. And for example, when the conference is being hosted by the Central Valley parishes, they all come together. It's a great unity. It's there are issues. There's always issues because, you know, but what we've seen, and I think my sister Kristen or Joey also can vouch for this, is that the unity that becomes very tight and they're bound together, and it then makes it easier to work together. And obviously we're not, I mean, I think from Turlock to Modesto, 25 minutes, but I think that's a great idea, RB, because you have numbers, you have more power, and you work together, and then it doesn't become, the burden is not upon one parish. And so I'll vouch for that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely need your help.
Just telling you what it's
for. No. You mentioned it. I have to get the help.
It's on the list of things to do for sure.
Always there for you. Always.
You.
We are one church. We are one body. Wherever we may be, we are one body. Yeah. We are one church, and we are that great, amazing. And I love saying that great, amazing Assyrian Church of the East.
Yes.
Rich history. Let's not go too much into that. We're not tooting any horns, but we're just stating the facts and the truth.
Yeah.
And something amazing, Rabbi, you've seen this, when the youth, from the 13-year-olds to the 25-year-olds, when they learn something different about their church and what this church has given for Christianity, I mean, it's a blessing again, that's when they are more prone to be drawn to serve within the diaconate or the priesthood. And I said, when was it? I was talking to one of my brother priests, and during the sessions, my session, some of the answers that were being given, in my heart, in my mind, I was saying to myself, you know, this church has future.
Mm-hmm.
And 680, if not even 80, if 20 of those young men decide to take on the orders of the church, that is a great blessing from the Lord. That's a great success story to tell.
Yeah.
Last comments, closing comments, Rabbi. The mic is yours. And
okay. The one thing I do want to mention, Rabbi, I think one of the things that's very important for, I think, our youth and all of our audience and every listener to know is that one thing that we also looked at, and I think Ninue wanted to mention this or was thinking about this too, is something that we discussed was with regards to this earthly, because everybody asks questions at regard to temporal, earthly passion and desires. And, you know, one of the things Ninwa mentioned was like vacations and all of these things. And I, you know, nobody, I think you'd be out of your mind to not enjoy a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those things are temporal and those things are earthly and those things. But when we're taking on, not even just the priesthood, just any rank, any time we're serving in the church and we're serving Christ and his faithful, it's something that we're looking to do, and you mentioned this today on the car ride back home, was gaining souls.
Mm-hmm.
The young men and women that we're serving, you're doing something that's going to be lasting in eternity. When we're working and we're making an impact on their souls and the way they view Christ and the way they view their own spiritual lives and the way they view, you know, how to take, when to make a right decision on following a good path versus a bad path in their lives. And
discerning God's voice.
Exactly. And so that you know, is a greater calling and is a greater purpose. And for sure, as you know, as we're living in these countries and we're living in the West and we know what is to come, and you know, we are blessed to have the opportunities to go out and to, you know, enjoy the world, enjoy our time. But I think time best spent is serving our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main things that we see in this passion that, you know, he's given us, and we're grateful for it, and we want to reciprocate that to everybody that we can, is the ability to serve, the ability to draw people closer by the way we live our lives. And we need to be a beacon of, you know, if I'm speaking something, if I'm teaching something, I ought to be living it myself.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So that's one of the beautiful things about this calling. And I'm, you know, a 1 week in, but I feel, especially I'm very blessed that it happened. My ordination was just 2-3 days before the youth conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming here in the priesthood was definitely a blessing. It was definitely a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. And seeing all of the youth sort of gravitate towards the priesthood,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that makes my impact on them mm-hmm. so much more greater. And I'm blessed to have that opportunity.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Dearest?
Final statements. I hope that a lot of our ACOE youth members and, you know, just in general, everyone in the ACOE can kind of take a look at the two of us. And I pray that we can be the role models that I've been hearing people say that we are, but I pray that we continue on that path. And, you know, I want them to know that we are there for them. And in this new generation, being in the, you know, 27 and 28, almost 29, and serving in the church in the way that we are right now, it's for us, it's very humbling. And I hope that our brothers and sisters can also look at that. And, you know, anytime they have questions or need us, both of us, they can come to us in any ways, and, you know, kind of carry that cross as well.
Amen. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, I always say it, Abi, that if Christ hadn't come down on earth and had died for you and I and the entire world, we would not be sitting here and we would not have these blessings. Absolutely. It is only the Church of the East knows grace. We know grace. We have two words for it. I always say, Shafaqat al-Tayyibuta. We know grace. It's by the grace of God. But then again, Christ is commanded that they know our good deeds and that they may through the deeds glorify our heaven. Not just the faith. You know, Christ didn't say so that they can see how strong your faith is and how many verses you can quote. No, he said so that they may know, see your good deeds and they may glorify your God in heaven. Amen. And we always keep in mind that we are those unworthy servants, those rusty tools in the shed, mm-hmm. where God takes out in his amazing, glorious, powerful, almighty, sovereign hands, and he uses those rusty tools to gravitate people around us to see your priesthood, to come to you and to grow and be encouraged to draw even closer to God. Mm-hmm. And for my sister Nimba to be an example for those sisters who are, as I said, engaged in a relationship with someone who's an acolyte who has a darga or the orders. At the end of the day, Rabbi, you said it, and we begin our liturgical with this, is that the church and those who serve are there to glorify God, first and foremost, to glorify God and to save souls. Amen. And that is done through God's mysterious ways and power and grace and mercy. Praise be to his name. Thank you so much for... reluctantly, no. I know you were. You were very happy to be a part of the podcast ministry. Could you plug the double-edged sword podcast ministry? It's too late. It's late, but that's okay.
The double-edged sword. No, honestly, Rabbi, thank you again for the opportunity. Double-edged sword. I have heard personal testimonials of some of our own youth members in Arizona of how you've impacted them.
Glory to God.
For some of our youth members in Arizona, those that may have not been as close to Christ, not as close to the church, but after hearing your podcast, some of them are now currently working in our children's ministries and actively zealous in the youth and working and serving and so you know through the podcast, and it's just glory to God for the use of technology for good.
Amen.
And that's what you've been doing, you and your team in California, and God bless you guys as always. Amen.
Kudos to the producers. Amen. But it's not my podcast. It's not Stephen's or Adrena's. It's no one's podcast. It's only, again, a tool and a mean through which God is using to draw people to his
excellent
glory.
Ministry.
Glory to God. I just ask that you keep the podcast and all those out there who are preaching the truth mm-hmm. of the Gospels and Jesus Christ, that the Lord will increase and the Lord will raise laborers in the vineyard so that we can work for this amazing ministry, which is preaching the Gospel of Christ. Rabbi, will you bless us with a closing prayer?
Yes.
And thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Rabbi Kasha. Rabbi and Mrs. Andrew Aziz. I think that would be the right title. Huh? Reverend Father and Mrs. Andrew Aziz. God bless you all. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to speaking to you more on the podcast. Amen. Please close with a prayer for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to join with our Reverend Father, Gennard, my wife, Ninwe, the blessed producers, Thank you for always giving us the opportunities and the grace and the blessings from your heavenly hand. Amen. May the glorious Trinity always bless and strengthen and guide our youth and our church in the future. You are everlasting and strong, and may you always bless and protect and guide this church. You are our guide, and by you we are strengthened by the name of your glorious Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with a new episode Monday, God willing. God bless you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Pushim Shena, back to work now.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.